Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, send us the promised Holy Spirit, which we have been given in our baptisms, to fill us today with the power of your word, the power that restores, the power that heals, the power that gives hope, and the power that gives life. We thank you for this great word, who is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And in his name we pray, amen. So I'm going to take a little different stance on a Pentecost message. You know, I've always said to you before that there are tough days to preach. And those days are usually the church festivals, like Christmas and Easter and Pentecost, because it's like, how do you tell them something different after 18 years of preaching almost that they've not already heard, right? Well, today I hope I figured it out. So we'll see. The Spirit did. So here's the reality. Brokenness exists in our world. Would you agree with that? If you don't agree with that, I have a rude awakening for you. Brokenness will come into your life. Have any of you ever had something you love broken before? Maybe you broke it or it just broke. Anybody ever experienced that? How do you feel when something you love breaks? Sad? What else? Upset? Maybe we grieve a little bit? Well, let me tell you the story of something that broke in my life one time. Oh, I'll never forget it. It was a beauty. She was a 2003 yellow convertible Volkswagen Beetle. She was the second woman in my life, next to my wife. My wife knew that, so it's okay. And one day, on a beautiful summer's day, I put the top down and I was driving down the road. And as I was driving, I began smelling smoke. And I thought, well, that's odd. And then I noticed through my air conditioner vents, there was smoke coming. And through the where the windows were down, the little crack thingies where the windows go into, I don't know what the technical term for that is, smoke was rising up. And then I noticed that back from the back where the motor was for the convertible, there was smoke coming up, and I thought, I don't think this is a good thing. So I pulled into the dealership that I always used in town to fix my car and drove up, and they took a look at it as I was waiting in the waiting room. I was like a nervous dad waiting to be, you know, find out my baby was okay, you know, and everything was going to be fine. And they came in and said, Mr. Pittock, we have some bad news for you. And my heart felt like it sunk into the ground. Your electrical system has been totally destroyed and shorted out. And the cost to fix it is more than the value of your car. After picking myself up off the floor, you know, I mean, it was my Beetle after all. I thought, well, what am I going to do? So I talked with my wife, and sadly, we decided it was time to trade the car in. The sad part about that day, I realized, was my wife literally had to drag me away from holding on to that Beetle to get into the new car as I was crying. She asked me, will you ever cry over me like that? And the answer is, yes, dear, I do all the time. But brokenness exists in our world, doesn't it? And it hurts. I mean, it's no fun when something we love is broken. Well, the reality is we are broken. You and I are broken people. We are broken people because we are sinful people. Brokenness is part of our lives because brokenness is part of mankind. Brokenness is part of our lives because Adam and Eve brought that brokenness into the world when they destroyed God's perfect plan that he had created in the garden. Brokenness came into the world when Adam and Eve decided they wanted to be like God. After all, that's what original sin is. And that brokenness entered. And they were cast out of the garden into a world where they would toil and struggle and have hardship and sin and stress and death and illness and everything else that comes along with it. Brokenness exists in our world. We are broken because we want to be in control. Let's see who's honest this morning. Who likes to be in control? You, every one of you are Lutheran, so you better raise your hand. Unless you're visiting, then you don't count. I have never met a Lutheran who doesn't want to be in control. Let's be honest, right? Right. Especially the German ones. The Scandinavians are a little less. We like to be in control. After all, what was Adam and Eve's first sin? Wanting to be like God, wanting to be in control. What is the first commandment that God gives us? Don't have any other gods over me. Every time we sin, we are saying to God, I'm in control of my own life, and so I'm my own God. That's what Luther says. It doesn't matter what sin or commandment you break, you always break the first one because you're being your own God, seeking to be in control of your own life. We are broken because we feel we matter most. Well, if you don't believe that, look around at our culture and society today. With racism and prejudice and all the other garbage that runs rampant in our culture and society today, the failure to love people, the bigotry we see, the race to judge people instead of love them and have compassion on them, we think we matter most. And what Jesus says is, well, in the kingdom of God, we really matter the least. Because when we serve in the kingdom of God as disciples, we are called to humbleness and humility. And humbleness and humility is putting others first. Loving them with the love of Jesus. Loving them as God loves us. And how did God love us? By humbling himself to serve us. By dying on a cross and putting himself beneath us. And that's the same kind of sacrificial love that God calls us to have for each and every person around us. Whether it's a homosexual or a transvestite or a person who's had an abortion, it does not matter. God doesn't say you have to accept their sin. What he does say is you have to love them. Because by loving them, you are able to bring transformation and healing into their lives. And that's the job for us as Christians. But so often we think we matter most in the kingdom of God. We are broken because we sin. We're broken because we sin. We sin on a daily basis. Scripture teaches us that there are sins we commit we don't even know. So if you're sitting there and thinking, well, I'm pretty good at that. I got most of my sins down pat. I'm not doing those anymore. I got something to tell you. You sin and you don't even know it, Scripture says. That's the reality. In fact, we are by our very nature what? Unclean. By our very nature. We are already separated from God by our very nature because of our sinfulness. And as a result of that sinfulness, we live in a world that is rampant with disease and illness and death. We live in a world where war and threats of war and bullying continues to happen. We live in a world where the poor and the needy and the homeless are forgotten about. We live in a world where there are people who need health care and mental health care that don't get it. We live in a world where families are falling apart because parents are failing at being parents and the divorce rate is high. We live in a world where there are failed governments. We live in a world where there is prejudice. We live in a world where there is hatred. We live in a world that truly is exactly opposite than what God had created the world to be in the beginning. And that was a world of unconditional, beautiful, powerful, unending love. But we are broken. And we are broken indeed. Today in our Old Testament lesson, we see an example of this brokenness. You know, as I work on my master's degree in counseling, one of the things that we realize that causes this brokenness in our lives and is the number one reason for most mental illnesses that are not genetic is the failure to have healthy relationships. The failure to have healthy, authentic, vulnerable relationships. And you can see that with the rise of social media, with Instagram and Facebook. It's much easier to be fake with each other and post what we're really going through, or post that, hey, today I used the bathroom, and we're so excited to see your post on Facebook that you used the bathroom today. Yay for you. But anyways, that's just how our world is today. That's the kind of fake authenticity and genuine relationship that Satan has created in our environment. We are in desperate need to be in relationship. We are in desperate need for attachment. We need attachment with one another. Attachment that is built with empathy and love. And you see, that's what God did for us when he came down with Jesus. He attuned to us. He came down in this world in human flesh to attach to us, to let us know how much we meant and how much we are loved. But in our world today, this sense of attachment, the sense of a relationship, well, it's gone. We don't have it. It's fallen apart. And where there is relationship, most of the time that relationship is burdened, stressed, unhealthy, not pretty, right? And that's the reality. So if we look at our Old Testament lesson for today, we see the people there, you know, they were needing some relationship or something. They were trying to attach to God, right? So they got this grand idea. You know, we're powerful and we want to be like God. You know, we get sometimes into our sinful minds that being like God and wanting to be God in our lives is how we attach to God, when in reality what Scripture says is if we want to attach to God and we want to have a relationship with God, we live a life of surrender and submission, which is the exact opposite of power and control, right? And so they said, well, let's just build this tower. We can do it. We have everything we need. And we'll build a tower that reaches to the sky, and we'll go up there and say, look, God, we can be like you. And we can have a relationship with you the way we want that relationship to exist. Well, God didn't take too kindly to that. He said, that's not what I'm looking for. In Hosea 6:6, God says the relationship he wants is a relationship that is built on not sacrifice, but love and mercy. And faith, not good works, but love and mercy and faith. So God came down and he tore down that temple and he said, well, the problem here is everyone's just alike and they speak the same language and that causes them to have too much power. So what is it? What did he do? He dispersed them. He sent them all over the world with different languages so they couldn't talk anymore and it lessened their power. But did the people learn from that? Did they really learn how to have a relationship with God? Did they really learn how to dive into their brokenness? No, instead, mankind fell deeper and deeper into despair and brokenness, continuing to seek its own control by its own wisdom. And we see that throughout the Old Testament in the cycle of the Jewish people being healthy with God, getting some bright idea in their head that, hey, let's do this so we can be closer to God, which falls along the circle, then falling into the bottom, which is exile, being departed from God, even though God wasn't departed from them, they departed from God, and then finally coming to a place of repentance and getting back into God's good graces, which is really the same thing that happens to us, but by virtue of baptism and repentance, God never leaves us. We are the ones who tend to walk away from God. And that's what happens when we seek out control in our lives. Our brokenness becomes deeper. Our brokenness becomes more real. Our brokenness becomes more broken as we seek to control our own lives and fix our own problems, because God says, I call you to a life of surrender and submission. I call you to a life that loves me and loves others more than anything else in this world. As much as we may not want to hear it, this brokenness serves a point in our lives. It keeps us totally dependent upon God. We need brokenness in our world. You may say, wait a minute, Pastor. That's not the kind of Christianity I signed up for. Well, if you want to hear the prosperity gospel, Joel Osteen is a great person to watch on TV. He'll tell you how to be happy, but he won't get you to heaven. Or go to the other televangelists. They'll tell you how to be happy and send them money, but it's not going to get you to heaven. Because true Christianity leads to hardship. Jesus said, take up your cross and follow me. Where did his cross lead to? Death, submission, surrender. What do you think our cross is going to lead to? Death to our sinful nature, submission, and surrender. You know, I always tell people when we invite people to join us and when people become Christian, I'm so glad that we don't start off with what Jesus says is, hey, in this world you're going to have troubles. It's okay, but I'll give you peace. Not the way to start off. We tell them that after they become mature Christians. But the reality is this brokenness has a point in our lives. It keeps us dependent upon God, because as brokenness enters in our lives and we begin to take a real look at ourselves and we see that we are nothing but sinners and we cannot fix ourselves, we cling to Jesus all the more. We pray all the more. We seek all the more the wonderful death and resurrection and power of Jesus in our lives. We're pointed to our baptisms more, where God has claimed us to be his children, and we celebrate the fact that our identity is child of God. And as we do that, we begin to find victory over sin, death, and the devil. We begin to find strength that comes from outside of ourselves. We begin to find hope that is not built on ourselves, but built on the amazing death and resurrection of Jesus Christ that has opened the kingdom of heaven to us and has given us all the benefits of God's grace and love and mercy and peace to us right here, right now, and for eternity. That's what happens when we begin to celebrate our brokenness, rejoice in our brokenness, surrender with our brokenness, and allow God to lead us from that brokenness in his strength. After all, what does he say to St. Paul? My strength is made perfect in your weakness. I learned I needed to ask for help myself. I remember one time, I used to live in Buffalo, New York. Anybody familiar with Buffalo, New York? What is it happens in Buffalo, New York in the winter? It snows. And it snows a lot. And sometimes it snows at 7 feet at a time. Well, you hire these people to plow your driveways for you because there's no way you can keep up with it with a snowplow. And look at me, I'm not going to shovel. So anyways, so we hired these people, you know, and we were stuck at home. It was a bad snowstorm, and lo and behold, I get a call that somebody's in the hospital. So I need to get out, right? And it had been a while since they'd come and plowed our driveway. They usually did it several times a day. But, you know, the snowplows come through, and as they come down the road multiple times an hour, guess what they do to the end of your driveway? They build up a bank. But I knew that in my car with traction control and front-wheel drive, that if I went fast enough backing up in reverse, that I could get over that bank of snow and truly get to see my member in the hospital. So I took control. And guess what? I got stuck. And then I thought, well, maybe I'll use some cat litter. I had some. That works. Well, that didn't get me out. It made it worse. And I thought, well, they say if you put rugs under there, that'll help. That didn't work. It gets worse. So I admitted I was stuck and called AAA. And 2.5 hours later, the Lord showed up in the form of AAA and I got unstuck. But I learned a very valuable lesson that day. Ask for help. When we're in control, it does not work. But we have been given help. We have been given the Lord Jesus Christ and the power of his Holy Spirit. We've been given each other as a family in Christ. That's what I'm talking about when God says genuine, authentic relationships. I don't want to be a part of a fake church. I don't like fake churches. As a matter of fact, I think fake churches aren't real churches. You know those fake churches you walk into and everybody has a smile and you ask them how you're doing and they say fine. I taught my ladies this week what fine stands for in Bible study. I won't do it in public. But it's not a good thing. Fine is just not real. It's fake. But that's not how we are here at Christ Lutheran Church. And that's what I love about our church. And that's what we have, one of the great gifts that we have to offer to our community is that we truly do celebrate authentic, genuine relationships in here. I remember my interview when I came and told you that I had a mental illness. I left with Stephanie and I said, they'll never call me to be their pastor. And you did, suckers. But anyways, you did. You called me. And you know what? People are opening up and we're becoming an authentic place. And we realize that with each other and with the grace of God, we bear one another's burdens. And by doing so, we fulfill the law of Christ, which is love, and we grow. Today, we celebrate the birthday of the church. Today, we celebrate the coming of the Holy Spirit. Today, we celebrate the reason why Pentecost happened. Remember back in when the tower fell and we called it Babel and everybody's language was dispersed. Nobody could understand each other anymore. God repaired that. And he repaired that in a mighty way, and only the way God could repair that. By the power of his Holy Spirit, he sent us the word and its understanding. And that word is Jesus Christ. He sent us the gospel message, which is the universal language that unites the world. No matter what language, no matter what culture, no matter if you're poor or rich, straight or gay, or have had an abortion, none of that matters because it is the power of the gospel that unites God's people into one. And that day, as the church was born, the people heard for the first time that Jesus Christ had come into the world to die on the cross to remove their sins as far as the east is from the west. They heard that Jesus Christ traded their sinfulness by taking it on himself and gave him their righteousness. That day, the people heard how Jesus rose from the dead, celebrating his conquering victory over sin, death, and the devil, and that the grave was destroyed, and we would now enter heaven to live with God forever. That day, the Holy Spirit began the ministry of the church in word and sacrament, which we continue to celebrate today every time we see a baptism, every time we have the Lord's Supper, every time we hear the word. Rejoicing in the powerful, life-giving, uniting, celebrating, conquering word of Jesus Christ that declares you innocent, not guilty, forgiven, and eternally saved. That is the gospel by which we are saved and the united language Jesus has brought. the Holy Spirit in starting the church has truly brought us the healing word of God. As Proverbs 3:7-9 says, be not wise in your own eyes. In other words, don't seek control. You do not matter as much as you think you do in this world. To God you do, but to others, no, you don't. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. In the name of Jesus, amen.